But imagine that you're a perfectly patient person, and everyone around you is a perfectly patient person. Everyone on Earth is perfectly patient. What does that look like? I don't know if our imaginations can quite fathom what would change. How would your money management change if you're perfectly patient and you could wait for the deal to come along? Oh, this goes on sale in 6 months. Well, I'll wait 6 months then. Like, just would the modern marketing is, I need it now and you need it now. You drive in, we'll get you a car today, and don't worry about the payments for 6 months. That's modern marketing. Modern marketing does not go off of patience. What about relationships with spouses? If your spouse is perfectly patient and you were too, what would go wrong? Nothing. I mean, everything would be great, right? What about raising your children, relating to coworkers? If all your coworkers were perfectly patient, angelic beings, wow, how would that work? What if your children were perfectly patient and you were too? You say something and they go do it, or if they didn't, it didn't matter because you're perfectly patient. Like, what would go wrong? So just hopefully that gets your brains thinking a little bit. So what would patience look like? Would you struggle with your tongue? Or would you just be patient? You could bite your tongue. It's not a big deal. Would you struggle with greed? What all is patience important? I think patience is very important. I think we'd still have struggles. You can be very patient and be very bitter. But I don't think it would solve all your problems, but patience is very important. But what what does patience look like? I have a simple definitions for patience and impatience. Impatience is just a very loud, now. I want it now. That is impatience. But patience is a little trickier. What actually is patience? I didn't get this online, so you can critique it all you want. Impatience is waiting for God's timing and acting according to his plan. Waiting for God's timing and acting according to his plan is my homemade definition of patience. Like to look at David as an example of patience and impatience. You can turn to 1 Samuel 24. David's a really interesting man to study in that he has some very great high moments and some equally great low moments. He personifies something great here, and he personifies something really bad here. So in 1 Samuel 24, this is a good. This is a, David makes a good choice here. I don't think it was felt like a very good time in his life, but to give you some context, David is running for his life. Saul's trying to kill him. Saul would be very happy to kill him. David would be very happy if Saul did not kill him. So there's the context. 1 Samuel 24, we'll read 1 to 7. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day which the Lord saith unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it seemed good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, and the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And then David tells him later on. So, David was patient here. His men, now imagine this is real. His men have been running for their lives for who knows how long, and they have their chance. There is peer pressure in this cave. This is not just David's bone to pick with Saul. This is peer pressure from I don't know how many men that, David, you can put a stop to this ridiculousness. Everyone knows you're going to be the next king. Here it is. God has blown. They actually quoted God on him. It's like they're quoting. I was like, God said, I'd deliver your enemies into your hands. Here it is. And David says, no, that's not God's plan. God chose Saul. He is the anointed of God. God chose Saul. I am not going to go against God's plan. I'll be patient and let God take care of it. God will take care of me. He has promised me. He believed, and he was patient. He did not make a rash decision to go take things in his own hand, even though it made sense. It made sense what they were saying. God has delivered him literally into your hand. He brought him into the very cave we're hiding. It makes sense to do it, but David was patient, and he did not, because God's plan was best, and David was willing to stick with it, even though it would have made sense. Verse 5, he felt bad for cutting off his robe. All he did was take his robe off, cut a little bit of his robe off, and he actually felt bad for that, because he's not supposed to touch the Lord's anointed. He was a patient man. His virtue was unquestionable. How do you critique that? He's running for his life. This man wants to kill him. He has a chance, and he passes it up. He's the next king. This is God laying him in front of him. That's easily to be easily convinced. But he does not do it because he is patient. I read a quote: "The hardest time to be patient is when you have been wronged or you're in pain," and that rings true. In this situation, David was being wronged. It's hard. He had every reason to be impatient. He was being wronged. It's not very fun to be on the run in the desert. He was wronged, and he had every reason to do it, but he took the high road. He chose the life of a fugitive. That's what he chose right there. Now, one chapter later, I don't know how long this is. This could be 3 months, 6 months, 2 years. I'm not sure. It looks bad because it's just one chapter, but David is not very patient. I think I'll just, instead of reading it, I will summarize it. So they've been staying out in the bush, hiding, and they're staying beside this rich man's flocks, and they protect his flocks. There's no contract between the rich man and David, nothing written down. David's just being nice, and none of the sheep are being killed by wolves, and no robbers are coming in, which apparently happened, because David was pretty ticked off that, yeah, anyway. So he is there, and it's time to shear the sheep, and he sends some men back to Nabal, say, "Hey, we've been protecting your sheep, and we've been basically your bodyguards. You've been prosperous due to us. Could you give us a little bit of food?" That's all he asked for. I think they said, whatsoever thy hand prospereth, or something like that. And Nabal laughs at him and insults him, and basically, hey, a lot of guys run away from their masters, just like David. Who am I to give food to a thief that's out in the desert? And insults him and calls and just totally disrespects David. And David has a loving, patient reply in verse. They told him. Wow, where is it? Okay, verse 13. David's loving, patient reply is, "And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword." And basically, get your swords, boys. We are headed to kill them all. We're going to kill every male. It's like, is this the same David that was in the cave? No, this man's trying to kill me. I must not strike him down. A man says some insults, and they're going after him. They're going to kill his whole family. That doesn't make very much. That's not very patient. I don't picture him, all right, let's talk about this, guys, sitting around a fire. Let's think this through. It was a grab your swords. He insulted me. We're going to kill him. This is not a very patient, loving reply. But Nabal, so Nabal is a jerk. He is. But he didn't sign a contract with David to, I owe you this if you protect my sheep. David just did it. Nabal was insulting and maybe a little bit unfair. There's probably some cultural expectation that he should help him. But so he didn't deserve to die. What Nabal did not deserve a death sentence. He was being a jerk, but other than that, he didn't deserve to die. Fortunately, Abigail was able to get to David in time. 1 Samuel 25:30-31. I'll read that in NLT because that makes it a little clearer. She is saying how God's going to do all these great things for David. When the Lord has done all he promised and has made you the leader of Israel, don't let this be a blemish on your record. Then your conscience won't have to bear the staggering burden of needless bloodshed and violence. So she says, David, don't let this be a blot on your good name. You're going to have a good name, and you're going to murder a jerk and all of his innocent family. The other men, they're not guilty. It's just Nabal. He did wrong you, but he didn't deserve death. And David realizes that he made a rash decision, and he let his emotion take hold of him and just drive him to murder. He acknowledges, a couple verses later, he said, "You saved me from shedding innocent blood." He acknowledges that he was going to go murder. It's like, wow, I never really put that together, that it's not a justified killing. It was going to be murder because he was impatient and didn't stop and think. So you see a high point in David's life. He spares Saul's life in the cave. He is patient, waiting for God's timing. And then someone ticks him off who's not anointed. I guess being anointed is a good thing, but he's not anointed, so let's kill him. Instant, bam, we're going to go kill him before tomorrow. He said, by this time tomorrow, there won't be any men left in Nabal's house. He didn't stop and think about it. He was going. So how can you have that stark of a contrast in someone's life? I don't know the time period between these two, but I will not touch the Lord's anointed. I will run in the desert before I am impatient, take things in my own hands, to I'm just going to kill that man. He said some mean words to me. How do you get such different levels of patience? How could his behavior swing that much? I would say it's because he was human. I hate to break your hopes, but humans do stupid things. And humans are back and forth. You can read some Psalms. David's just an interesting man to really think about. He's this warrior who is strong. He's God's man, but he goes high and he goes low. O God, you are my God, and I will ever praise thee. The heavens declare the glory of God. And then you read some of the endings of some of the other Psalms, and God dash their heads on the rock, and God do this, and God smash my enemies. It's like this. David's got some wrestling emotions. There are times when he was very patient, and there are times when he really struggled. And that's a picture of our lives. There are times that we can be very patient and endure things, and then the next little thing will set us off just because we're human. There's a song that most of you probably know that have patience, don't be in such a hurry. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. And the last words are what I like to think about. Remember that God is patient too. So when others do things to you, remember that God is patient. And when you get impatient, remember how patient God has been with you. Maybe a child is frustrating you and they're just not listening to you. You say something, they laugh and do the opposite thing, or they just don't get it. And we can get frustrated and angry and forget that that's God with us. How many commands do we have in here, and how many of them do we consistently obey? Or we just forget, or we don't want to. That sounds like a little boy. That sounds like a little girl. That's us. We have a patient Heavenly Father. Sometimes we wonder why are little children, why they don't just get it. And I think sometimes God wonders that too. Why doesn't Aaron just get it? I've been telling him this for how many years, and why doesn't he just get it? When we're impatient with those around us, we need to remember how patient God is with us. God was patient with the children of Israel in the desert. He tells them, don't get too much manna on Saturday night. Yeah, Sunday, no. I forget. Don't get too much manna. They don't listen. I remember that. Tells them, don't serve other gods, don't make other idols. They don't listen. He tells them not to marry foreign women. Guess what? They don't listen. He tells them, I'm going to give you this promised land. They don't listen. They don't trust him. God is patient with them. This goes on and on throughout Israel's history, through the prophets, through the kings, through the exile. There's cycles of rebellion and repentance and rebellion and repentance, and they just, humans don't quite get it. Humans require patience. God is patient with us. God is patient with them. Now, God is patient and forgiving, but that doesn't mean that there is never any consequences. God is perfectly patient, but patience does come to an end. There is a wage for our sin. There were wages for Israel's sin. God was very, very, very patient with them, but there was a time where if you turn your back from me, I'll turn your back from you. God was not, hey, I'm patient, I'm loving, I'm kind. Grace. There is a time where patience comes to an end. And there will be a time when the window of opportunity will be shut and God's patience will be done with this world. Imagine you're waiting for someone and you say, meet me at the Unimart at 2 o'clock. And 2 o'clock rolls by. You stay till 2:30 because you're a very patient person, more patient than me. You stay till 2:30, then you leave and you get an angry text from them. I was here at 4:30. I know that's 2.5 hours late, but why weren't you waiting? Because you don't wait 2.5 hours for somebody. That is past reasonable time to wait. God is patient, but he's not going to be here at 5. He might. He's not me, but God will wait a reasonable time to give you time to repent, but God is not going to just say, hey, nothing matters. I'm just going to let anything go. So the window will close. So like his father, Jesus also is patient. We see a perfect picture of patience when we see Jesus in the Bible. I'm not going to turn to very many of the verses, just kind of outline them. Many times Jesus was asked, or Jesus was pressured to say who he is. And he would consistently say, my time has not come yet, my time has not come yet. And then when Passion Week came, my time's here now. He was waiting. He was waiting to act in God's plan. He was patient with the people he related with. Disciples had one job, to stay awake and pray with him, and they fell asleep in the garden. And he was patient with them. Peter denied him 3 times. He was patient with Peter. He came back to Peter. He didn't get angry and throw Peter off. He was patient with Peter. 40 days in the desert, he endured. He was patient. He didn't fall for the devil's schemes. I'd like to point out, though, that patience is not a lack of feeling. We're going to feel frustrated. Frustrated is an emotion, and we're going to feel it. We are humans, and I believe Jesus felt frustrated. When Jesus cleared out the temple, I don't think he was feeling joy and peace. I think he was feeling frustration and anger. When God was dealing with the children of Israel in the desert, he said, these are a stiff-necked people. They're not going to change. God was feeling frustration. Frustration is an emotion. And we are going to feel that. The problem is when we make our decisions based off of our frustration. And when our frustration drives us away from God instead of towards God. So, they say that love is a choice. I think we've all heard that saying, love is a choice, not an emotion. And that is true. I think it's equally true that patience is a choice and frustration is an emotion. We're all going to feel frustrated. Life does happen. Frustration will happen in our lives, but we can choose to be patient or we can choose to just stay in that frustration and get angry and bitter at God's plan for us right now and the pain that we're going through or whatever we're going through. We can stay there or we can choose to be patient and choose to go to God. So how do we improve in the area of patience? So I don't think all of us would raise our hands. Who has patience down to a science? Yeah. We all could use some help and patience, but how do we get better at that? How can you improve? Or are you just kind of stuck? If you want to be smarter, you read books or you go to school. If you want to be stronger, you lift weights, you run, you eat right. But if you want to be more patient, what can you do? Read patience books. Say a chant every morning, I will be patient, I will be patient, I will be patient. Is that going to do it? It might help. I don't know. If you do it for a year and get back to me. So we can remind ourselves to be patient every day, and we can read books, and that's good. But as Christians, we have living inside us a reminder to be patient. John 14:26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and he brings things to remembrance. When we are Feeling frustrated, he brings things to remembrance. Do Bible verses just pop into your mind? Is that you, or is that the Holy Spirit? When things just pop into your mind, that's the Holy Spirit's, hey, remember this. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit of God working inside us. So if you're, common illustration, but if you imagine the Christian life as a tree, and Jesus is the trunk and the roots, and we are just one branch, we are attached to the tree, and the sap flows up through us. We are one with the tree, but the tree is living through us. The tree is where our power comes from, and our patience comes from down here. That comes from a relationship with Jesus. That comes from the Holy Spirit living inside us, going through that branch. And what comes out is patience. What comes out is what God is. The fruit of the Spirit is love. God is love. That's common saying. God is love. God is full of love. And when God is full of love, and you are part of that, what comes out of you and his fruit is love, because that's what's flowing from God through you. God is peace. When the God of peace lives inside you and you are connected to him, that peace is going to come out. If God is gentle, if you are connected to that vine and you are a branch and the sap is flowing up through you, gentleness is what's going to come out, because God is living inside you. So if we want to grow in patience, books are good, but if we want to grow in patience, we need to grow in our relationship with God. We need to make sure our connection to the vine is solid. And when we feel frustrated and when we feel these emotions, when things aren't going well, we need to, instead of just wallowing in our self-pity and how bad things are, that should push us to Christ, and that should push us to checking our connection so that we can obtain patience. So God will give us patience. We need to talk to God. We need to have a relationship with him. And when we talk to him, we can ask him for patience. We can turn to Matthew 7. This is Matthew 7. 7 to 11. Fairly common verses. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? So God would love to make our lives more like his. If we ask him, God, please make me patient, he would love to do that. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to change our lives to be more patient. If we are willing to give us our impatience and our own plans, he would love to give us peace and patience. We are his children. He would love to give us good gifts. Those are good gifts. But we do need to ask. And I'd like to say that we need to remember this is a relationship here, not an ATM. We can ask, God, give me patience right now. I need patience to get me through this. Without giving him, God, we need to be prepared for God to say, I will give you patience, but you need to give me your plans and you need to give me your ambitions. No, I'll keep my plans and ambitions. You give me patience to get through this. We'll move on. There's a relationship here. You got to be willing to give God what he wants. You're talking to God. You say, give me patience. And he lays out to you, hey, give me your plans. You need to surrender your plans to me, and then I'll give you peace and patience. No, that's not a relationship. That's just you using God as an ATM, and we wonder why it doesn't work. Patience is accepting God's plan and God's timing. So no matter what you're going through, you need to accept God's plan and lay your plans out if you want to really be patient. So now I have a little section called real life patience. Patience come across as pretty simple, how I laid it out. Just love Jesus and everything will work out. If you're lacking patience, just pray and it'll come. And life's not that simple. Yesterday I was studying and I was taking a break. I was studying for a while, then I'd take a brain break and do something else and come back. So my brain break was going to be a simple plumbing project. So I was taking a brain break so I was done writing. I'm going to take a break. go put a valve in a shower and do a little bit of plumbing. 2 hours, we're good. Yeah, right. So, not much thinking went on, and a lot of frustration and anger went on because things were not going well. They used some for adhesive that just, you should not need a pipe wrench to undo PVC fittings. But it was not very good. So I was annoyed. My son was there helping, so that helps. So 50% of the time, I was mad at this valve, and it just things were not working. And the other half, I was knowing I was preaching a sermon on patience tomorrow, and I was trying to think that through, and it was not working. There were some very conflicting emotions. I was quoting scripture, and then I was mumbling under my breath, stupid. It was just a very odd feeling, and I got the feeling that my sermon is very head knowledge. And we know that Jesus lives. We know that we're attached to the vine. Jesus lives through us. His Holy Spirit flows through us. But when the going gets tough and the plumbing doesn't work, where's the Holy Spirit? Why is it so hard for the Holy Spirit to work through me when things are not going well? Things are going well. Holy Spirit shines through me. I'm happy. Things aren't going well, and I'm mumbling under my breath and why it's hiding in the corner. So when real life happens, that's when patience happens. Anybody can be patient sitting on the couch. Probably. But when real life happens, what goes on? When the baby's teething and screaming all day, that's real life. When the car breaks down, that's real life. That's when you find out if you're patient. When the cat gets out, when our bodies hurt, pain makes patience. Pain makes you realize how impatient you are. One tooth that hurts, all of a sudden, you figure out you're not very patient. So does the Holy Spirit live inside us till the going gets tough? Then it's acceptable to fume and be impatient and be annoyed. Well, that guy, he's hard to work with. I understand why you snapped like that. Is that excusable? Like, is that okay? Oh, the going's tough, so tough get going. Is that what works? Why is it so hard? In real life, patience is not natural. When things go wrong, naturally, frustration and impatient, that's what follows. For the natural human, that's what follows. I don't want to sugarcoat things like it's super easy. Just love Jesus, let the Holy Spirit work through you, and you'll never be impatient again. That's just not true. You will feel frustration. And that frustration is an emotion. You will feel frustrated, I shouldn't say daily, but often. But we can choose to stay there or not. Our frustration can draw us away from God. We can feel frustrated and I can't do this on my own, so I need to go to someone who will. Or we can get frustrated and impatient and just, God, why aren't you? We can get angry. We can get impatient fast. We live in a fallen world. But this world is not perfect. If this world were perfect, it'd be a whole lot easier to be patient. But it's not, and it never will be. And we have an adversary. The devil is against us. The devil will bring things into our lives that make our lives miserable. I shouldn't say that quite that strong. But the devil is against us. He wants us to fail. The devil doesn't want us to wait for God's timing. The devil wants us to do it in our time, and we want it now, and whoops, we made a mistake. That's what the devil wants. The devil loves to see God's children discontent and angry and not obeying the Father's plan, just angry why things aren't going my way when we're supposed to be serving our Lord. Things need to go our Lord's way. So, to close, when we are impatient, I think it's important to realize how small our plans really are. It's not really that important that I got that valve in yesterday. That really doesn't matter. It's not that important, whatever. It's not that important if my tooth hurts for a day. I think God cares about those little things. But we do need to remember that God's plans are much higher than ours. And when we feel impatient, that should be our cue to spend some time with God. When I'm feeling impatient and I have needs that I can't do, that means I need to go to someone who can and someone who can help me to understand. Sometimes we can't even understand really what we're anxious about. God does. Frustration and being tired of enduring pain and being tired of enduring this, that's natural. That is natural to feel that frustration, but we need to take that frustration to God. They should push us to Christ and not to making rash, impatient choices. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being a patient God with us when we were far from you. Thank you for drawing us to you. And pray that we would show mercy to those around us. Remember how much that we have been forgiven. And pray that we would live lives that are characterized by the Holy Spirit, and that you would live in us, and that we would surrender more to you each day. I pray that you would give us patience and love for each other. Praise your name. Amen.